ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तत्रापिदं पतीनां च सुकायान्यापुतु अनुतये कर्माणि कुर्वतं दृष्ट्वा निवृतोऽस्मि विपर्ययम्।
In this human form of life, a man and women unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yanmai Dunadi Grihamedi Sukam Hituchang. Man and woman both seek sexual enjoyment, and when they are united by the ritualistic ceremony of marriage, they are happy for some time. But finally, there is dissension, and thus there are so many cases of separation and divorce. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy life through sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress. Marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession for restricted sex life, which is also recommended in Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma virudho bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life not against the principles of religion is Krishna. Every living entity is always eager to enjoy sex life because materialistic life consists of eating, sleeping, sex, and fear. In animal life, eating, sleeping, sexual enjoyment, and fear cannot be regulated. But for human society, the plan is that although men, like animals, must be allowed to eat, sleep, enjoy sex, and take protection from fear, they must be regulated. The Vedic plan for eating recommends that one take jagga shishta, or prasad, food offered to Krishna. Jagya shishta shana santo mucchanti sadhava kilbasai. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice. In material life, one commits sinful activities, especially in eating, and because of sinful activities, one is condemned by nature's laws to accept another body, which is imposed as punishment. Sex and eating are essential. Therefore, they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions so that according to Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offer a concession to human society, the idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sex enjoyment. Thus, they are victimized, being obliged to take birth in the forms of animals to fulfill their animalistic propensities. The Vedic injunctions therefore warn, Nayam deho deha bhajanya loke kastan kaman arhati vidbhujam je. One should not enjoy sex like hogs and eat everything, even to the limit of stool. A human being should eat prasad offered to the deity and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from the fearful condition of material existence, and he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. The learned Brahman said that since everything is misused by fruitive workers, he had retired from all fruitive activities. Translation. In this human form of life, a man and women unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. This great Brahman, the self-realized personality who is here instructing Prahlad Maharaj, is explaining by his own personal experience and realization why he has taken to the renounced order of life. One who observes material nature with a spirit of detachment can see everything as it is. The ways of this material world are very obvious. The lessons to be learned are quite clear. But if we look upon this world with attachment, then we cannot see anything in truth. We simply see everything according to our relative spirit of enjoyment. And therefore, the truth that Krishna is trying to reveal through every element of material existence is clouded. We cannot perceive anything as it is. But a person who is detached from material enjoyment, wherever he goes, whatever he sees, whatever he hears, whatever he experiences, is simply echoing the words of his spiritual master and the words of the scriptures. Therefore, it is said that an intelligent man sees through his ears, does not see through his eyes. He hears from the Shastra, he hears from Guru and the Sadhus exactly what is the real nature of this material existence. And because he is detached from the spirit of enjoyment, he can see the truth. He could see the message of God everywhere. And what is the message of God speaking through this material existence? This great Avadhuta Brahman is describing that due to the temporary nature of everything within this world, ultimately it is a place of suffering, it is a place of misery. The ultimate pleasure of this world is the enjoyment of sex that is shared between the male and the female. Pungsastriya maituni bhava metam tayor meto hridaya granti mahu athogri hakshetra sutapti vithaira janasya moho yamahamameti. That the basic principle for the entire material existence is the attraction between male and female. This attraction brings the male and female together to unite for sexual enjoyment. The product of such sexual enjoyment is endlessly increasing attachment to children, to home, to relatives, to land, to prestige, and so on and so on and so on. In this way, one cannot see anything in truth because one sees everything colored by the image of I and mine. One sees everything in terms of how I am this body and everything that is mine is for my enjoyment. And whatever is not mine, we have endless longings to possess for our sense gratification. So in this way, sex pleasure, which is the ultimate experience of gratification in this material existence, is the basic principle of this entire material world. It is due to the spell of sex desire that this entire creation continues.
It is such a powerful urge that is impregnated within the hearts of all the conditioned souls. Indeed, according to the Acharyas, it is the ultimate expression of envy toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. And to the degree we want to enjoy his property, to that degree we are expressing our envy toward him. And everything is his property. Therefore, to the degree we intensely want to enjoy, to that degree we are intensely envious of God. It is said in the Shastra that this material world is Maituna Agara, that it is a place where literally every living entity in this material encagement is shackled by the chains of sex desire. Therefore, Vedic civilization, and factually every religious civilization, tries to differentiate man from animal by regulating and controlling these sexual propensities. The ideal is always to give it up completely. It is never an easy thing, but if one is willing and able to make this great sacrifice, it is considered a most worshipable expression of one's devotion to God. Therefore, in the Vedic society, a sannyasi is always offered respects by all classes of men because he is willing to make this sacrifice. A person who is not willing and able to make this great sacrifice, at least he should take, or she should take, to the Grihastha ashram and regulate sexual conduct to at the maximum once per month for the purpose of procreating Krishna conscious children. Otherwise, the man and the woman, they come together only for the service of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. They have no other business together. They raise children in the service of Krishna. They worship the deity in the service of Krishna. They feed the sadhus and the devotees in the service of Krishna. In this way, the man and the woman in the Grihastha ashram, they make Krishna the center of all of their activities. To the degree we make Krishna the center, to that degree, the Grihastha is detached from the impulse for sexual enjoyment. And to the degree they do not put Krishna in the center, to that very degree, they will be vulnerable to wasting their precious lives, enjoying like the animals. So here the Avaduta, because he is detached, he was simply witnessing human society, simply watching like an observer. And what was his conclusion? His conclusion is he was watching how so many people, practically everybody, they're happily, so-called happily enjoying sex life, the unity of man and woman. And he is seeing how practically in every instance, this so-called most unifying of all principles creates the greatest disunity in one's own heart. Why? Because it is the greatest illusion in all of existence. People become mad after this pleasure. But Prahlad Maharaj explains that this pleasure is nothing more than simply rubbing your hands together. From a factual point of view, from an unbiased point of view, simply rubbing your hands together gives you a little pleasure. There is no more significance to this ultimate satisfaction of the world than this. Prahlad Maharaj explains that it is simply scratching an itch. The more you scratch an itch, the more it aggravates the itch and the more it itches. If you want the itch to go away, you tolerate it and let it go through its own course. But if you scratch it, it simply increases the pain, the suffering, and the discomfort. So although Maya, the illusory energy, promises us so much happiness, prosperity, and pleasure through the unity of man and woman, through sex life, we should know that when these promises come into our hearts, it is simply a great illusion. It is Maya's supreme weapon to cast us into a condition of bondage. And that is all. Sense gratification, Krishna says, has a beginning and an end, and therefore a wise man does not delight in it. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukha jonai evate atyantavanta kontayanateshu ramate buddha. It lasts for a few seconds, and then it's gone, and then we're simply more disturbed than we were in the first place for more. That is the condition. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that lust is like fire. It is insatiable. It's constantly burning. And the more you feed it, the more hungry the fire of lust becomes within your mind. When you feed your lusty propensities with sense gratification, what you are doing is you are taking your worst enemy and you are feeding it sumptuously, and you are arming him with all of your weapons and all of your strength. Sense gratification is factually suicidal to one's spiritual life. Krishna says in Gita, Kama esha krodha esha rajo gunasya mudbhava mahashino mahapapma vidye nam iha vairanam. That it is lust only which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So know that this desire to enjoy sense gratification, which is heralded in its supreme manifestation through the sex impulse, is the greatest, most sinful enemy in our life. To one who is hoping to advance in spiritual life, there is no greater and sinful enemy than this. Therefore, an intelligent person, Krishna says, does not in any way befriend his enemy. He conquers his enemy. This is the difference between an intelligent person and a fool. An intelligent person fights his enemy, conquers his enemy. Krishna says, in the very beginning, conquered the sinful enemy of lust. By keeping one's senses constantly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, by tolerating. But a foolish person is very anxious to befriend his enemy. We feed our enemy very nicely. And we provide our enemy all the weapons to destroy us. That is the process of sense gratification. Therefore, this great Avadhuta Brahman, he is seeing how the whole material society is simply under the spell, the mystical spell of sexual attraction. And how due to this, there is the repetition of birth and death. Continuously going on. So much frustration, so much bondage, so much disunity. Therefore, simply on the basis of this and this alone, the Brahman is explaining, he has completely renounced this world. He says here, in this human form of life, men and women unite for sensual pleasure, for sex, but by actual experience we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. Srila Prabhupada describes that the more one indulges in sex life, the more one becomes entangled in the endless complexities of material existence. And the more one is able to be detached, the more one could live a simple, humble, and happy life in this world. Krishna says in Gita, Tani saravani samyamya yukta asitamatvara vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. That the process of fixing your consciousness on Krishna is you must restrain your senses from the objects. You cannot be Krishna conscious if you are allowing your senses to be engaged in sense pleasures. And simultaneously, it is impossible to restrain your senses unless you fix your consciousness upon Krishna. Therefore, the process of overcoming this demoniac, all-devouring enemy of lust that somehow or other we have welcomed to live within our minds is to constantly tolerate the urges of the mind and senses. And in the process of tolerating the urges of the mind and senses, we must keep them fully engaged in the service of Lord Hari. It is said the idle mind is the devil's workshop. If our mind is not filled with Krishna, it will be filled with Maya. There is no in between. There's either Krishna or Maya. We are the marginal energy of the Lord. That means we are standing between the external inferior energy and the superior spiritual energy. But please know that you are never in between. Sometimes we think the marginal energy is in between, but there is no in between. You're either in Maya or you're in Krishna consciousness. If you're sleeping, you're in Maya. Krishna consciousness means to be awake. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious. You cannot be conscious of Krishna when you are sleeping. Prabhupada said sleeping means laying in the lap of Maya. Therefore, we reduce our sleep as far as possible. In fact, on one occasion, Prabhupada saw so many devotees sleeping during his classes that he said, as far as he was concerned, oversleeping was worse than illicit sex. Huh? Because this unconscious, this remaining too prolonged in the state of unconsciousness influences so much the mode of ignorance that the mode of passion is following right behind. So therefore, it is very important to know that the marginal energy of the Lord, the Jivatma, he always has the independence to either be under Krishna's control or under Maya's control, but he's never in between. Just like in this material world, there's the law of gravity. Either something's going up or something's going down. It's not that you throw something in the air and it just stays in one place. It's either going up or it's going down. Now it's easier by the laws of nature to let a thing go down, correct? Because it is the very nature of this place that everything's coming down. This material world, everything is under the laws of gravity. What is the law of gravity? It brings everything down. So this material world Everyone is under the laws of gravity. And in spiritual life, we are also under the laws of gravity. As soon as we are the slightest bit inattentive or lazy, the gravitational pull of Maya pulls us down toward sense gratification, down toward bondage. It's a great struggle, and it takes great determination to continuously go up. Or in a river, the same principle is there. If you're swimming very hard, you could swim upstream. But as soon as you stop, you never stay in one place. You're immediately pulled downstream toward the ocean of birth and death. Or when you are pedaling a bicycle up a hill, it's a very hard struggle. But if you stop for a second, you don't stay in one place. You go down. So understand that we're working against the whole current of material existence when we're trying to be Krishna conscious. Everything in this material world is trying to pull our mind and senses down to sense enjoyment. This whole material existence is trying to pull us toward, ultimately, sex pleasure. Therefore, a devotee knows that an idle mind is a devil's workshop. If we are not struggling and striving to keep our mind and senses engaged in Krishna service, then as soon as we stop, we are engaged in Maya service. The precious energy of our human life is going to offer oblations of our valuable human energy into the all-consuming, all-devouring fire of our sinful enemy in the form of lust. But a devotee of the Lord, he utilizes his precious energy to offer oblations for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of devotional service. Therefore, there are 9 processes of devotional service, and one must be very careful to always be keeping his mind and senses engaged in one of these 9 processes. The Padma Purana describes Sarva padiva nirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesa sevanam bhaktir uchyate. That by engaging the mind and senses in the service of the Lord of the senses, one becomes purified. And through this process of purification, param drishta nivartate, one develops a higher taste. One's natural inclination to love Krishna is awakened. And then, in that state of always being engaged in Krishna service, then the service of the senses becomes a disgusting consideration. As Srila Jamuna Acharya has prayed, that at one time he describes he was a king, and he was very fond of sexual life. But he says, but now that I have tasted the ultimate sweetness of the loving service of Lord Hari through the process of bhakti, even the ultimate pleasure of this material world, sex life, is so unpalatable and disgusting to me that the thought of it causes me to curl my lips in distaste and spit at the thought of it. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees, and by engaging in the service of the Lord, by worshiping the deities, by chanting the holy name, by remembering Krishna, by sitting and attentively hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by offering prayers to the Lord, by rendering service as a personal servitor to the Lord or his devotees, by carrying out the order of the spiritual master, by befriending the Lord, and by surrendering everything to the Lord. These are the 9 processes by which 24 hours a day Krishna is giving us the opportunity to to be purifying our lives by being engaged in his service. And whenever the invitation of Maya comes into our life, we should be very careful. We should not. It is say, if you play with fire, you are burnt. Lust is compared to fire. If you play with fire, you will get burnt. Therefore, we should always be engaged in playing with Krishna, by serving his devotees. Humility, the ultimate expression of humility, comes when we control our senses, when we are willing to say no to Maya and be the servant of Krishna's servants. Prabhupada says the difference between a Goswami and a Godas, a servant of the senses and a master of the senses, is not that the impulses are not there, but the power to say no. The desire, the determination to say no. When the tongue wants to taste something that is not according to God's desire, we have to be willing to say no. When the ears want to hear something that is not conducive to Krishna consciousness, we must be willing and determined to say no. When the eyes want to see something that is not conducive for our Krishna consciousness, we must be willing to say no. Then we are Goswami. Godas is one who simply agrees with all the proposals that Maya gives from within and without. So therefore, we must become tolerant and we must become very enthusiastic at all times to work very hard. Prabhupada ends his purport practically by explaining that sleep is only to recover from the fatigue due to working hard. So devotees are meant to work very hard. Devotees must never be lazy. All the great acharyas condemn laziness. When we are lazy, we are simply opening the doors for Maya to just rush into our mind and take complete control. Therefore, we must be very active. We must be very busy in hearing the glories of the Lord, in chanting the glories of the Lord, and in rendering service by executing the instructions of higher authorities. In this way, if we are working very hard, then we sleep simply to recover from that fatigue, and then we get up and we work hard. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. This is the process by which we can be immune from the influences which are constantly trying to drag us down towards sense gratification. And one who, the more we control our senses, the more we follow this principle, the more we can see the truth being revealed by God in every situation in this material life. Why is it that grihasthas, when they have marital problems, they are generally always more inclined toward revealing their problems and taking shelter from a sannyasi or brahmachari than they are from another grihastha? From the material point of view, it doesn't make sense. Because what in the world does a sannyasi know about marriage problems? Oftentimes, he's never been married. He's never had a relationship with a woman. He's never had children. What does he know about these problems? Huh? He doesn't have any data by his own experience. But factually, simply because he's detached, by watching others, he could see everything clear through and through of what's taking place. One who is, it is just like If you're in the middle of the battlefield, all you know is who's attacking you right immediately, but you don't know everything else that's going on because you're just too involved in your own little battle. But if you're in a helicopter above the battlefield, you can see everything as it is because you're detached from the whole situation. So similarly, one who is detached, just by seeing the activities of grihasthas, a person can understand the true nature of family life far better than somebody who's enmeshed and entrenched in all the problems and complexities. Huh? This is exactly what this Avadhuta Brahman is trying to say. That the more you are detached, the more you can understand the truth and the facts of a situation. And the more you are attached, the more you cannot even see what is taking place in your life. There is a story of another in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam about one avadhuta who was approached and asked, "Who is your spiritual master?" And he said, "How many? 21 spiritual masters?" 24 spiritual masters. He said, "Because I'm completely detached from enjoying or getting entangled in any of these activities of this material world, I have learned everything about material life simply by watching, simply by observing the moon, by observing the ocean, by observing the sun, by observing the pigeons, by observing the bees, by observing a prostitute of the name Pingala." In so many ways, he was just watching and observing, and because of detachment, so many truths were revealed to him about the true nature of this material existence and the true nature of a saintly person. This is the great opulence of detachment. Through detachment, we can see things as they are. And according to Rupa Goswami, what is the ultimate detachment? Sarvopadiva niramuktam prapanchakatiya budhya hari sambandhi vastanam mamukshami purityako vairagam phalgu khatyate. To use everything in the service of Krishna. That is the ultimate detachment. Nothing for our own sense enjoyment. Everything, our mind, our senses, our wealth, our abilities, everything, if it is fully utilized to our maximum capacity in the service of Krishna, that is the ultimate detachment. And through this process, we can see everything as it is. And how to use everything in the service of Krishna? By hearing from the great souls, by associating with the great souls, and by executing their instructions as our life and soul, and not deviating. That is the process of self-realization. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Question of love of God. Is there a parallel in
the parallel is love of God. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that love, prema, is like gold. And lust is that same propensity when it is misdirected away from Krishna, then it becomes like iron. Both gold and iron are metals, but one is of great value and one is quite worthless. When the propensity for affection is directed toward Krishna, that is love. When it is directed away from Krishna toward the objects of the senses, that is lust. So it is the same, love and lust are the same energy. But the basic principle of lust is sex life. But that sex life manifests itself in so many varieties of ways in this world. Subtle sex life is profit, adoration, and distinction. Gross sex life is using our gross senses to enjoy the objects, the various objects of material life. Lust is the desire to enjoy anything, anyone, anywhere in this material world. And love is to always have Krishna in the center of our lives. Yes. Whenever you quote Prabhupada, you don't quote him exactly. You shouldn't say Prabhupada said, you should say Prabhupada says something like this. Your way of quoting Prabhupada is always a little bit off. Prabhupada does not exactly say like that. Prabhupada says that this is a very dangerous process. That if you give your senses so much sense gratification, ultimately you become so fatigued and tired that you become detached. But this process is never ever recommended by the acharyas or the sadhus. The process recommended is detachments and tolerance. Because do you know how much ghee you have to put on the fire to put it out? Especially when the fire is so huge and hungry as within your heart of lust. Do you know how much ghee it takes? And if it's not quite enough, what happens? You have increased the fire by millions of times. Huh? So therefore it is never recommended. Although it is possible, it is so dangerous, it is never recommended. But if someone is absolutely against controlling his senses, then you just have to, all right, then you burn yourself out. It may take you thousands of births, but you just go and burn yourself out. Very dangerous. If you put 1,000 gallons of ghee on the fire, if it's not quite enough, what happens to the fire? It's bigger than ever.